the medium is the same in both connected and linear TV. So it really shows that despite the narrative about TV advertising basically, you know, starting a slow decline, there is still healthy growth in overall spending on connected plus linear.
Hey gang, it's Tuesday, January 4th. Paul and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Smartly.io. I'm Marcus, and today I'm joined by our principal analyst who heads up our advertising and media practice, is Paul Werner.
Happy New Year, everyone. Great to be here again.
Hey chap, happy brand new year to you as well from myself and the listeners. Today's fact, exercising can help you remember. So if you do physical exercise within 4 hours of learning something, you are more likely to store that in your long-term memory, according to researchers at the Donders Institute for Brain Cognition and Behavior in the Netherlands. Description exercise is known to release proteins that can boost the part of the brain related to memory, and this study suggests the timing of it is crucial.
I'm sorry, what were we talking about? Seriously though, what kind of exercise did you say?
Physical exercise.
Okay.
It's pretty general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds horrible. I'm not into it.
It does sound horrible. I think it makes sense, and I've definitely seen other studies that link exercise and memory, so That's why I try to get out there. Not so easy always in the winter and with work days,
yeah.
But I try.
I'm definitely going to test this out. But my memory's shocking. I'm a lost cause. This is a waste of time. Anyway, today's real topic, digital ad trends for 2022. So Paul, today we're talking all about what we see as the major digital ad trends for this year, 2022. And by we, I mean you. So let's do this. You've got a bunch of trends in a new report that you just put out, digital ad trends for 2022. But we're going to take a look at a handful of those, give people a little flavor of what's in that report. We'll start with digital ad spending blows away our pre-pandemic outlook, you write in the report. US digital ad spending, you note, Paul, will grow by nearly 50% in the next 4 years. By 2025, the digital ad market will top $300 billion, you point out. Digital, you say, has eclipsed all other forms of advertising, but has also outperformed our expectations several times in recent years. Paul, how has it outperformed those expectations?
Well, to tell that story, we need to rewind back 2 years. So going back to around March of 2020, right before the pandemic, we had issued a forecast for digital ad spending, as we do twice a year. When the pandemic hit, we revised that and all of our other forecasts, and we made a downward revision, which, you know, made sense given what we were all thinking at the time. However, yeah. It didn't take long for us to backtrack on that downward revision and revise it back upward in October of 2020. We did it again in March of 2021, and then again in October of 2021. So every time we've restated or revised that forecast since the pandemic, it's gone up and up and up. And the end result is that by the end of this forecast period, we're looking at a US digital ad market that's over $60 billion larger than what we expected 2 years ago.
Wow.
So basically, it's just gaining momentum. And I think, you know, when I saw that data, which it was a little bit under the radar, it struck me that our forecasts of digital ad spending have kind of like a waterfall effect on a lot of other forecasts that we do. So it really is sort of like an all boats rising kind of scenario. And It just occurred to me when looking at those incremental revisions that was a story in and of itself that speaks to a very healthy ad market despite all of the disruption and all of the negative effects in other parts of the economy.
Right. I mean, and that would have been, as we've talked about before, and everyone kind of knows at this point, the last couple of years, pandemic hit, people were inside more, people bought more things online, people spent more time online. But as we head into this new year of 2022, Paul, what do we expect to be the fuel being added to the 2022 fire that is digital ad spending continuing to grow at an accelerated pace?
Yeah, well, I think the fuel now is, and these are actually things that were in place before the pandemic, but were maybe amplified by the pandemic. And I think in general, it's two large areas. One is connected TV, and the other is retail media. And by that, I mean not retailers spending on ads, but retailers creating ad products where they get revenue from brands that want to advertise on these retail networks. The biggest one, of course, being Amazon, but there are many others that are taking Amazon's cue and really building up these networks. So we see a lot of spending in those areas. And yes, I think both of those were amplified by the fact that people were staying at home, watching more connected TV, and as you pointed out, buying more stuff online and therefore generating more of a market for online ads. But I think both of those trends were things that were happening anyway, and they're going to continue to happen. And that's where we see, I think, the bulk of the growth for the next, not just this year, but the next few years.
So, I mean, talking about CTV, in your report, Paul, you show a great chart that combines linear TV ad spending with connected TV ad spending. You can see how much each is growing each year. And what astonished me is that you do have a drop in linear TV ad spending from 2019 to 2020, a drop from $71 billion to $62 for linear TV ad spending. CTV goes from 6 to 9. So connected TV able to grow during that pandemic hit year and the recession year as well. Moving into 2021, CTV continues to grow from 9 to 13, and this year will hit 17. Meanwhile, linear TV will pick up a little bit, but will get capped at about 67. So it goes $62 billion 2020, 66 the next year, and then this year will reach 68. But that's where it will live. It's going to continue to stay at that level and tick down a little bit as CTV continues to swell. Paul, your take on these numbers is interesting as well, looking at them from this perspective as well, because you know that, I mean, you can see that regardless of everything that's going on with CTV, linear is still four times the size of CTV this year and will continue to be at least three to four times the size in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are many takeaways here, but one is, yes, that linear TV remains a huge contributor to overall advertising on, you know, visual media, for lack of a better term. So that's one takeaway that is, it's just important to keep that as kind of like an anchor point of how we look at this. But the other point is, yes, linear TV, we're probably going to see its peak this year. And the slight downward trend, which I would characterize sort of like as, you know, flatness and slight declines.
Yeah.
That I don't expect to see another year in our forecast where linear TV grows. So I think we're going to see, you know, negative growth, but it's in that sort of like, you know, 0.5% to 1% range. So it's not falling off a cliff the way it did, say, in 2020, which was a very disrupted year for linear TV. And then I guess the other takeaway from this, and it's the reason why I created this chart, you know, with linear and connected TV stacked on top of each other, is it just shows how much more money is being pumped into this type of advertising. Now, we tend to separate linear from connected for obvious reasons, but at the end of the day, if a brand advertiser is creating a 30-second ad, TV style ad, and that ad may be on both linear and TV platforms, from their point of view, they're just trying to maximize their reach. But the medium is the same in both connected and linear TV. So it really shows that despite the narrative about TV advertising basically, you know, starting a slow decline, there is still healthy growth in overall spending on connected plus linear.
Yep. Yeah, this reminds me of online shopping. For all the headlines of online shopping, 86% of the shopping that is done in this country, in America, is in stores. And for all the headlines of CTV, there's still an overwhelming majority of dollars being spent on linear TV when you look at linear versus connected. Paul, let's move to another prediction you have here, which is the pendulum is swinging toward AVOD, advertising video on demand. Paul, quickly for the audience, what are we talking about here when we're talking about AVOD? What kind of services?
We're talking about everything from the dedicated services like Pluto and Tubi, and also we're talking about things like the Roku channel and a lot of other media companies that are doing either like fully ad-supported or hybrid services that, you know, that have ad support. But basically, it's the counterpart to subscription-based OTT viewing. So it's really anything that's ad-supported. And yeah, we're seeing more of it. partly because there's been a glut of new subscription services. The prices of subscription services are inching up. So I think people, for a while, they were eager to try the new services. Many of them were offered at a discount or as bundled deals. But as those discounts and bundles run out, and as people begin to get a feel for what the services do and don't offer, they're starting to be more selective about which ones they stay with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're more likely to cancel out of ones that aren't working for them. So that's giving even more fuel to the ad-supported video because it's just easier and you don't have to pay for it.
They are. But what's interesting, Paul, is that you write that there isn't a backlash against SVOD. You call it a realignment of viewer preferences. So one would, you know, could assume that, oh, AVOD is growing. That must mean people are sick and tired of paying for things to watch via digital. But you're suggesting that actually, no, it's not a backlash at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a backlash because we're still seeing a lot of growth in especially the top platforms on the subscription side. Mm-hmm. But I think what people are doing is just being more intelligent about what they subscribe to and what they watch and when and how. So they're taking advantage of the choice that they now have. So it might be that, you know, maybe if you subscribe to HBO, you know, when you were on a cable system, you felt compelled to subscribe for a whole year. But now maybe you're subscribing just to watch a show that might be on for, you know, a couple of months, and then you cancel that one. And at the same time, with all these different ad-supported platforms, and there are more and more of them, you're more likely to dabble in those and, you know, maybe make some choices about, okay, this show I don't mind watching with commercials, this other show I want to watch commercial-free. So there's just a lot more choice, and I think people are availing themselves of choice, but it's definitely not a binary decision between ad-supported and subscription-based.
Right. Finally on this trend, Paul, real quick, is there one or two AVOD services that you would suggest our viewers or that you yourself are paying a little more attention to this year?
Well, I'm definitely looking at the Roku channel, and I'm also looking at the ones that are coming up from smart TV makers. And the reason for that is that some of these companies are starting to make more money from content or from advertising around their content than from device sales. And these are device companies. So I think it's a really interesting shift. So that's why I'm particularly interested in all of those channels and see how they perform in the market.
Okay. Final prediction, Paul, for the listeners. TV and video ad measurement is a hot mess, you write. Paul, for this trend, I skipped right to the end of the section where you write, quote, the TV ad measurement puzzle likely won't be solved for another 3 to 5 years, close quote. Paul, the question there has to be why, and this obviously is not something advertisers are probably too keen to hear.
Yeah, the reason why is that it's just simply too complicated and too fragmented. And, you know, we come from a world in which Nielsen was the currency and the common standard by which all TV content and advertising was measured for many, many years. There were definitely limitations to the Nielsen service, but at least everybody got behind it and agreed and implicitly agreed to live with those limitations. We live in a world now where viewing is much more complex across all these different platforms. I mean, I mentioned before the smart TV makers, the Rokus, then there are also all the dedicated streaming services, the TV networks that have streaming services, and the live TV services delivered digitally. There's just so much viewing. And, you know,
it's a busy universe.
Yeah. And we still have linear TV. So all of those things make for a very, very complicated measurement challenge. And a lot of parties are coming up with really interesting solutions, but it's just not likely that any of them is going to grab the attention of the entire market and that everybody's going to unanimously get behind it. And, you know, we live in a divided, fragmented society outside of the media, outside of, you know, TV anyway. And I think that plays into it a little bit. So it's just hard to get people to agree on any one thing. And this is definitely happening on the measurement side.
Yeah. When you hear three to five years, at least I myself, and I'm not an advertiser, I panicked. That's a really long time.
It is.
But then when you laid it out there, lots and lots of different players, lots of different priorities. And it seems like we're almost in the kind of testing phase. People are trying out different measurement standards, techniques, and then we've also got to agree on one of them even after the testing part's been done. And then start to see the results of that. So yeah, actually maybe 3 to 5 years isn't long enough, perhaps.
It could be. It could be even longer. But yeah, I think it does sound a little shocking when you say it, but then when you really peel back the layers, it just doesn't seem realistic to expect anything comprehensive to happen in less time than that.
Yeah, the deprecation of third-party cookies seemed like it was years away when, you know, dates were announced, and then it was like, well, hang on a second, that's not nearly enough time for me to get my house in order, seemed to be a lot of the narratives coming out from a lot of folks. That is all we got time for the lead story. Time now for the halftime report. Paul, your takeaway, your one takeaway from the first half, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway, I'm going to go back to digital advertising and just, you know, reiterate the point that it is a very healthy market despite all of the turmoil that we are seeing and the uncertainty now with, you know, this new COVID variant and so many things. But in general, that's where the, you know, the ad dollars are going, and that's not going to change regardless of what happens.
They certainly are. I mean, I would jump on that takeaway as well and cite something else from your report. Digital ad spending will account for more than 3/4 of all media spending by 2025. Today it accounts for 70%. It will reach 78% of all US ad spending by 2025, just for digital. Anyway, that's what we've got time for the lead. Time now for In Other News, but first a quick word from our sponsor, smartly.io. Hi to all the social media marketers out there, listen up. Social platforms have become more important than ever for brands. You know this. So if you're looking to scale your social advertising in 2022, look no further. Smartly.io is number one in social media advertising. They help brands automate every step of the process by combining creative production and ad buying to unlock greater performance. All right, folks, we are back. It's time now for In Other News, which we're doing a bit differently in the new year. I'm going to read out a recent news story, and then I'm going to ask Paul, in this case, our analyst, to fill in the blank, which will be my question. Today in other news, streaming growth stalls and bringing the immediacy of digital measurement to TV ads. Story one, streaming growth stalls, writes Sarah Fisher of Axios. Netflix has been hovering just above 200 million subscribers for the last 4 years. Amazon Prime was living at 150 million for a while before a recent surge. Even the newest newcomer, Disney Plus, has leveled off, as have Paramount Plus, HBO Max, and Hulu. Ms. Fisher writes that subscriber growth slowed in Q3 for most of the major streaming services, prompting analysts to consider whether the subscription streamers are prepared to compete globally as the US market saturates. Paul, video streaming growth stalling is blank.
Inevitable, just given how many services have cropped up. And, you know, we're focusing on the big ones, but there have been so many others that have come into the market that are creating more competition. So we were in a period of experimentation and the shiny new toy kind of thing for a while, but now, you know, it's getting real. And I think all of these companies can expect less growth in the US. I will say just one other quick thing that jumped out at me about this chart. I saw that Amazon Prime jumped dramatically from about 160 million to like 200 million. Now, these are worldwide numbers, and that growth must be coming from outside the US. So Amazon must be making a big push to gain more members. And by the way, the chart shows Amazon Prime, not Amazon Prime Video. The two run kind of like neck and neck. I mean, they're, you know, most people who are on Prime are also watching video, but, you know, Amazon doesn't break out Prime Video subscribers on their own. And they don't really necessarily break out Prime either. They just once in a while will drop, you know, a number, which is what they did recently. And that's where this chart is getting that information from. But there is a big, big jump. And to the point that Amazon Prime is getting very close to Netflix. And that would be a big change in terms of like the alignment of these services on a global basis.
Mm-hmm. Another point that was mentioned in the article, data from Magid suggests the willingness to pay remains at 4 services for about $10 per video streaming service. Story two, Univision looks to bring immediacy of digital measurement to TV ads, writes insider intelligence analyst Daniel Konstantinovich, per Ad Age. Daniel notes that the new method will monitor actions like searches and purchases of a product online immediately following a TV ad to measure impact and to predict which time slots are most effective for advertisers. Paul, Univision bringing the immediacy of digital measurement to TV ads is blank.
It's a small step for mankind, I guess I would say. It's definitely an interesting project that they have, and I'd be very curious to see how it plays out. But as of right now, there's very little information about who the partners are and how it's actually going to work. But, you know, this goes to the point of the TV measurement that we talked about earlier, where it's inherently challenging to measure viewing across linear and connected platforms together. So networks are coming up with different ways of doing it. Ad tech firms are also jumping into the game with, you know, proposals. So, you know, this is an interesting tidbit, but I don't think it's going to be a game changer for the whole industry unless this method of measuring or attributing, you know, purchases to TV advertising somehow, you know, is like the new, or everybody suddenly gets behind it, which remains to be seen.
Right. Well, that is all we have time for. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Paul.
Thank you.
And thank you to Victoria. She edits the show. Thanks to everyone listening. Tune in tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Brand Anatomy, the marketer podcast made possible by Smartly.io, where our very own Jeremy Goldman will be speaking to Cadian Langley of Renfro Brands.